Your objections have been noted.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. There have been lots of objections to the General Motors bankruptcy plan and not much success. Late yesterday, a judge said GM can go ahead with its plan to sell its good assets to a new company owned mostly by you, the taxpayer. Bankruptcy attorney Doug Bernstein with Plunkett Cooney says people who think they're getting shafted in this deal have very little hope left.
For example, the bondholders can make an argument that they're getting less than they should have received under the bankruptcy code as traditionally applied, but it's a tremendous hurdle for them to win on appeal because really their only alternative is for a liquidation of the company, and I don't see that as a real possibility that an appellate court is going to overturn Judge Gerber's rulings.
Any appeals have to be filed by Thursday at noon. In Moscow this morning, President Obama opened his first Russian summit. He and Russia's president will talk nuclear weapons, of course, but also about creating a joint commission to improve trade relations. Those trade relations are pretty pathetic now, as Marketplace's Steve Henn tells us.
Clifford Gaddy is an economist and a Russian expert at the Brookings Institution. He says when it comes to trading relations between the U.S. and Russia, there's not a whole lot going on.
I think it would surprise most people to know how small they are.
The U.S. does more business with the Netherlands, and U.S. firms do roughly twice the business in China in a single month than they do in Russia over an entire year.
At the same time, this also tells us that there's great potential, there's great untapped potential.
For example, both the U.S. and Russia could benefit from greater foreign investment in Russia's oil fields. More Russian oil production would lower global prices while boosting Russian revenue. But for now, all that seems unlikely. Just 3 weeks ago, Russia withdrew its long-standing application to join the World Trade Organization. Gaddy believes Russians were fed up that its WTO membership application was bogged down by non-economic issues like its invasion of Georgia. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
The stock sell-off continues. European markets are down more than 1%, as were Asian markets earlier today. Wall Street sank at the end of last week. The Dow lost 223 points, closing at 8,280. That was on Thursday. Friday was a holiday. Back to work this morning, and for Congress, that means sorting out health care reform proposals. Reporter Danielle Carson says this is going to be an epic battle.
Three key committees are collaborating on the House version of the health care bill. And once the Senate Finance Committee comes out with its version this week, the horse trading will begin. Whatever emerges, the final bill will include a funding mechanism that's certain to spark controversy. Paul Ginsberg heads the Center for Studying Health System Change.
That funding's going to be hard to get because it's going to mean raising some people's taxes, making spending cuts, and that's a very large amount of money.
The Congressional Budget Office has crunched some new numbers. It says the proposed reforms will cost roughly $611 billion over 10 years. That's far less than an earlier estimate of $1 trillion. Funding ideas include reducing Medicare payments to hospitals and taxing employer-provided health insurance. Ginsburg also worries the push for a government-run insurance program could derail health care reform this year.
That, to me, is actually one of the biggest risks, where it's possible that people who are insisting on a public plan will not yield on it, and we wind up with just a deadlock and no bill.
But most analysts seem confident Congress will hammer out a final bill before its summer recess. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
A few minutes ago, I told you a bankruptcy judge has cleared General Motors to sell its assets to a brand new company. The other side of that bankruptcy is unfolding in Europe. GM's Opel division is temporarily owned by the German government. Germany has put in $2 billion. It is also helping Opel find a new owner. There are some conditions there. conditions other European nations do not appreciate. From Antwerp, Belgium, Brett Neely reports.
Opel's Antwerp factory is surrounded by huge empty parking lots. Keith Curtis spent 30 years in the factory. He says the scene doesn't look right.
All that space you see over there was absolutely packed with cars. Always. Full of Opels. Yeah, it's a bit of a tragedy, I'm afraid.
Curtis is one of the luckier auto workers in Belgium. 18 months ago, he took a big buyout and left the company. His former colleague's fate could be determined in Germany, whose government with temporary ownership of Opel is keen to protect the company's 26,000 workers there, particularly with elections in September. It shows just how little unity there is in the European Union these days, says Brussels economist Daniel Gross.
The pattern is almost always the same. Of course, at the national level, the priority is national jobs because you put in the money of national taxpayers.
It's as if Illinois promised to bail out GM, provided it kept its plants open there rather than those in Michigan. There are 50,000 Opel workers across Europe, and this kind of aid that pits one EU state against another is against the rules, Gross says. In the middle of a crisis, that happens. Belgium, too, is trying to offer money to prospective buyers of Opel, but it's a small country with much less cash. Union leader Rudy Kennis fears for Antwerp's 2,600 Opel jobs, despite government and labor concessions.
It's the same as I would turn around the whole evening around a beautiful woman. If she doesn't want to go out with me, we probably won't go out.
So for now, the Opel workers in Antwerp and other GM factories outside Germany can only hope for the best. Economist Daniel Gross says government bailouts can only go so far. In the long term, automakers will follow the bottom line.
Then they will look again at the situation and say, now, where are actually the cheapest places to produce? And then the economic logic will come back.
But will the jobs? In Antwerp, Belgium, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
We're following GM and the rest of our economy at marketplace.org. Hope to see you there. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.